Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I know that there are under 5 films working in Los Angeles right now, which is almost unheard of.
Filmmakers taking flight from the City of Angels. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to the Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 14th, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. The sound you're hearing is a scene outside the Los Angeles Unified School District headquarters. The board is expected to decide today whether to lay off thousands of teachers and district employees. They've repeatedly delayed making a decision because of intense opposition from teachers, parents, students, and even the mayor. But a $700 million budget gap still needs to be addressed. The school board is meeting at their downtown headquarters to debate layoffs right now. United Teachers Los Angeles has waged an aggressive campaign to make sure teachers keep their jobs. ARN's Beth Palkovic met with the UTLA board before the meeting started.
My name is Joe Zicola is a member of the UTLA who spoke out against the layoffs this afternoon, but he's also a drama teacher at a South Central Los Angeles middle school.
And I bring with me into that school a Master of Fine Arts degree, 3 years college teaching experience, and over 15 years professional experience as a writer and director. I came to the district last year because after 10 years in the corporate world, I wanted to do something meaningful with my life.
But now he is one teacher who may lose his job, and there are 1,500 others like him.
The president goes on TV and says people need to give their lives to teaching, need to do service. People like me go and do that, and there are thousands like me. What is the district saying when they're cutting us at a time where our schools need us more than ever?
So how did we get here? 2 weeks ago, the Board of Education decided to delay the layoffs for 2 weeks, which takes us to today. They said the extension would be used to figure out a way to save jobs, and they did. Superintendent Ramon Cortina said on Monday that a combination of federal stimulus money and state dollars helped save about 2,000 elementary school teachers' jobs.
If that decision had been made 2 weeks ago, 2,000 teachers would have been given their notices and potentially laid off, and then we'd have to go back. I mean, it's chaotic.
Maria Elena Durazo is the head of the LA County Federation of Labor.
Let's take, and I'm not talking about months and months, but I'm saying is let's be more thoughtful about how to save the jobs now before those notices go out to all the employees.
Teachers like Zicola, who are still on the chopping block, say if the school board could figure it out 2 weeks ago, they can figure it out now. Beth Palkovic, Annenberg Radio News.
The mayor wants you to know how he's doing. Timothy Beckwork reports.
The mayor is delivering his State of the City speech today with a focus on green energy initiatives. At the Balcon Electric Truck Company in Harbor City, he is revealing plans for a clean tech corridor downtown. It's a proposal designed to lure clean technology firms to a designated area downtown. The mayor says this would bring thousands of green jobs to the city. Besides green initiatives, the city budget is a major hot topic. Villaraigosa recently asked city unions to accept lower wages to prevent layoffs. Villaraigosa got his start as a union organizer, and unions have helped the mayor finance his previous campaigns. Their continued support will be crucial for his gubernatorial bid.
Because of the severity of the crisis, he's going to have to really get through this crisis before reaching a decision.
That was Rafe Sonnenschein, professor of political science at Cal State Fullerton.
I think it's a little overstated to say that somehow his union allies won't back him for governor if he makes them do some distasteful things. That would really surprise me.
Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
Police said today that they are looking for a black Ford F-150 pickup truck with a broken window in connection with yesterday's stabbing at Dodger Stadium. About 90 minutes after the Dodgers' opening season win, a 30-year-old man in the stadium parking lot was stabbed during a dispute. The victim is listed in stable condition. Today's cloudy skies will clear and we can expect to see sun for the rest of the week. Tonight's lows will be in the high 40s, but it will warm up quickly on Wednesday with the highs of 64 degrees and lows in the 50s. The warming trend will continue until Thursday with a high of 69 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, are the conditions in LA jails bad enough to cause mental breakdowns? A cardinal sin. That's how the LA City Ethics Commission described the campaign finance violation of two Florida men who laundered money for Antonio Villaraigosa's 2005 mayoral campaign. Today, the commission gave the men one of the largest fines in its 19-year history. Richie Duchon reports.
You know those airport stores that carry magazines, books, and snacks? They're apparently big money makers. And to improve their chances of grabbing those concessions, two guys from Florida and their friends, family, and employees contributed close to $50,000 to Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa's 2005 campaign. Richard Manheyer and Sean Anderson were convicted on laundering $39,000 and giving it to the campaign. The owners of the Miami-based company Travel Traders asked their employees and family members each to give Villaraigosa's campaign $1,000. That's the maximum donation allowed in LA city elections. Manheyer and Anderson later reimbursed the contributors with company funds. The men pleaded guilty in late March to misdemeanor charges of money laundering. Today, the LA City Ethics Commission fined the men $108,000.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good.
It surprises me that people still think that they can launder campaign money and get around contribution limits and not get caught.
That's Bob Stern. He's president of the Center for Governmental Studies in Los Angeles. Stern says the violations won't seriously hurt Villaraigosa politically.
I think there are many other problems that are occurring in the city, and this will be a little blip in terms of his reputation, but obviously it's something you don't like to see.
Prosecutors have said they found no evidence to suggest the mayor knew the contributions to his campaign were laundered. In a press release, the L.A. County District Attorney's Office said Villaraigosa had dinner with one of the owners of Travel Traders in 2004, when an initial contribution to his campaign was offered. The mayor returned the money shortly after a Daily Breeze story raised questions about whether the donations were ethical. Stern says that even though the LA City Ethics Commission is one of the toughest in the country, it hasn't deterred political supporters from trying to find ways around finance laws.
Anytime you have contribution limits, no matter what the level, there are a few people who think that they can go around the law, get their employees to give contributions, and thus try to influence the decision maker. And that's what happened here.
Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles is no longer the filming hotspot it once was. The recession and out-of-state competition has driven producers away from the Golden State. Dina Diaz reports.
A report released today by film contractor Film LA says both television and movie shooting in Los Angeles has dropped in the first 3 months of this year. The drop has been the lowest in 16 years.
I can tell you for a fact that I know that there are under five films working in Los Angeles right now, which is almost unheard of.
That was location manager Christy Frankenheimer, who works with Film LA. This past quarter, only 903 film production days were logged, 56% less than last year. TV commercial production also fell by 46%. The drops add to over a decade of decline in on-location shooting. Financial incentives offered by more than 30 states have lured away film producers from Los Angeles. These tax credits and rebates make it cheaper to shoot outside the so-called entertainment capital of the world. Kevin Clowden, a managing economist at the Milken Institute in Santa Monica, says the state needs to be more proactive.
Los Angeles is an expensive place to do filming, so there is obviously the concern about moving production out of the city and out of the state when budgets are tight, which they certainly are. There needs to be more of a long-term incentive package to try and get films and such to stay here.
Adding to the problem are the troubles of the flailing auto and banking industries, which have made significant cutbacks on TV ads, most of which are shot in Los Angeles. According to the LA County Economic Development Corporation, the Los Angeles film industry contributes $20 to $30 million to California's economy. Dina Diaz, Annenberg Radio News.
An inmate suicide raises big questions about our prisons and jails. ARN's Karen Marcus reports.
Fewer immigrants are entering California.
22-year-old John Horton was found hanging from his tiny jail cell March 30th after spending almost a month in confinement. Today, the ACLU urged the LA County Board of Supervisors to take immediate action to improve county mental health facilities in light of Horton's death. Melinda Bird is the senior counsel for the ACLU of Southern California. She says the overcrowded, dangerous, and dungeon-like conditions pushes inmates to the limit.
It is impossible to provide mental health treatment in the jail because the conditions themselves create psychiatric breakdown.
Lori, who asked her name not be disclosed, knows of Horton's struggles. Her brother was a bipolar patient who served a 6-month jail sentence and was tossed out onto the street.
They released him from jail onto the street with no medication, no prescriptions, no housing, no way to get help. They gave him a phone number and dumped him onto the streets of Van Nuys.
The ACLU has been working with Sheriff Lee Baca for the past year. They want to close the central jail, which would save the county $250 million. A ballot initiative might cut the mental health budget, which would further endanger mentally ill inmates. The city spends $50,000 a year to house mentally ill inmates. There are 2,000 men currently in mental health treatment in LA County. Dr. Terry Coopers, who conducted a study on county jail conditions for the ACLU, says twice that number need treatment. There's one crucial step to jail reform.
So we have a revolving door between the jail and the street, and we need to close that door. We need to slam it shut.
The focus on the Men's Central Jail was part of the ACLU National Prison Project. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
With the recent death of an inmate in a Los Angeles jail and 4 Oakland police officers killed by a parolee, California's criminal justice system is currently under a microscope. Earlier today, I spoke with Professor Craig Haney of the University of California, Santa Cruz, about the challenges facing California's prison system.
Well, there's one overriding challenging issue, and it's overcrowding. Until and unless the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation develops a plan to control the level of overcrowding in the system, all of the rest of the problems will go unsolved.
How did the prisons become so overcrowded?
Well, it's a complicated set of factors. We passed a number of laws in the 1980s and 1990s, including a 3-strikes law, which meant that a large number of prisoners were coming into the system. We also, in the mid-1970s, passed a law which basically prohibited the prison system from releasing people early. It was called a determinant sentencing law.
What role or influence does mental illness currently play in California's prison system?
Well, it unfortunately plays a very large role. There are tens of thousands of mentally ill prisoners in the California Department of Corrections, in the neighborhood of about 35,000 prisoners who were on the department's mental health caseload. These are people who've been identified as having diagnosed mental illnesses, and they're in need of receiving different levels of treatment. And it has proven difficult, if not impossible, for the Department of Corrections to administer to their needs. And that has a large impact on the quality of life or conditions of confinement for all of the prisoners in the system, because those mentally ill prisoners, many of them, live in the mainline prison population.
Compared to other states' prison systems, why does California's appear to be more inadequate?
Well, again, it has to do with the overcrowding. The California Department of Corrections is now and has been for the last decade the most overcrowded system in the United States. The only prison system that is remotely close to us in terms of percentage of inmates over the capacity of the system is Alabama's, and it's a much smaller system. We have a system in California that has been for the last 10 years operating at 200% of its capacity. And a system like that, that's as massive as ours is, simply cannot function adequately. It certainly can't do the constitutionally critical things like providing adequate mental health and medical care to prisoners. But then it also can't do those things that prison systems seek or aspire to do, namely to provide rehabilitative services for prisoners so that when they get out, they've benefited from the experience that they had in prison and they're less likely to go back in.
Well, what kind of solutions could be done to help California's system?
Well, the very first and most important thing is that we need to develop and implement a plan for reducing the population in the prison system. Those prisoners who represent the least public safety threat, and there are thousands of them in the Department of Corrections, need to be placed on a program or a process of accelerated release. In addition to that, we need parole reform. We have in California a system in which tens of thousands of people are returned to the Department of Corrections back into the prison system because they've committed what are, in essence, technical parole violations. These are technical parole violations that could be handled in the community with alternative forms of punishment or alternative consequences. And so there is this kind of revolving door process where parole violators end up congesting the system. And then I think once we begin to get a handle on the population problems, the programs of rehabilitation that the Department of Corrections has been talking about implementing need to be fully implemented so that prisoners do more than simply put in time while they're in prison, but actually are given opportunities to participate in vocational training and educational training programs that will decrease the likelihood that they will reoffend once they're released.
That was Professor Craig Haney, an expert on psychology and prison reform from the University of California, Santa Cruz. The Los Angeles City Council today called for the reinstatement of a federal ban on assault weapons. The ban was signed into law by former President Bill Clinton in 1994, but expired in 2004. The ban prevented the sale of 19 types of semi-automatic weapons, including AK-47s. It's a long fall from the top for the one-time king of pop. Items from Michael Jackson's notorious Neverland Ranch were put on display in Beverly Hills today. The items are being displayed to the public in preparation for an auction on April 22nd. The exhibit will remain open over the next week before the sale. A white jeweled glove, life-size sculptures, arcade games, and even the front gates of Neverland are all available for bidding. Now we check in with Ned Dannenberg to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hey, Brooke. Well, we'll have the latest from the mayor's State of the City address. We're live in Harbor City with his plans for a greener L.A., plus more on those easing travel restrictions for Cuban Americans wanting to travel back to Cuba. We have reaction from local Cubans here in Los Angeles. And finally, we continue our Eye on the Economy series with a look at one of L.A.'s more unique communities. It's Venice Beach, but vendors there say they're having a hard time paying rent with these tough economic times. We have a closer look. That's all coming up tonight at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Ned. Police are still looking for the teenage gunman who shot a Locke High School student in front of the campus yesterday. The victim was a 16-year-old student at the school and was hospitalized with serious injuries. According to the police, just before 8 a.m., the gunman walked up to the victim and shot him in the upper body before fleeing from the school's campus. Police believe the shooting was gang-related. And check out our website for a new look at illegal immigration in California. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sidney Gavins.